I don't know whether you know Ditchling Beacon at all. It's the sort of local Everest in our part of Sussex. Its snow-capped summit towers more than 700 feet over the rolling downland beneath. Mind you, it's only snow-capped in winter. I don't go up it then. In fact, I hardly ever go up it in summer. Just very occasionally, perhaps, on one of those brilliant blue days in July, when, as the poet Browning said, the morning's at seven, the lark's on the thorn, the snail's in his heaven, and all's right with the world. I may have got that a bit wrong, but it certainly gives you the feel of the place, with the snails singing their hearts out and the slimy trails of the skylarks. No, well, never mind. But it's a truly terrific climb up there, and a great place for the man of letters to get his thoughts together and decide whether or not to have a fresh corpse in Chapter 9 of Death Wore a T-Shirt, which is what I was doing on this particular day. The trouble, of course, with the brilliant blue day in July, even when the morning's at seven, is that the climb is so terrific that the car overheats and leaves you stuck up there while it cools off. Anyway, that's what happened this time, and I was extremely glad that I'd left the note for my wife, Mrs. Potter. I hope I didn't mislead you about the climb. I don't do it on my personal legs with a shower of Sherpas bumping me up the backside. Oh, good heavens, no. No, I drive up there. Stand outside the car for a few deep draughts of brain-reviving oxygen, get in again, and drive back down. Unless, as I say, it overheats and just sits there, making those cracking noises as the pistons shrink back to size. So it was lucky on this particular morning that I had written an explanatory note on the back of a handy butcher's bill and stuck it under the teapot lid. You know what your average romantic lady novelist is like. No trace of her husband but a dent in the next pillow, and the car disappeared, and she files him as a missing person. But the butcher's bill would take care of that, and I could roll in an hour late for breakfast with nothing to fear but a cold look. Well, a cold breakfast perhaps as well. Life can't all be roses. So I eventually began the downward drive with my buoyant spirits intact. Not least because I'd taken a firm decision to have the fresh corpse in Chapter 9. Why not? Gorgeous morning like that, who's going to stint on the dead bodies?
Happy days are here. I wonder what the time is then. If the BBC...
said the Prime Minister, and down to single figures by the end of the following year.
What's the time?
9:05.
Thank you.
Alessandro Spaghetto, whose 86 motets on a theme from the Book of Job are among the most...
No, thank you. Hello, where's the World Service? Speak to me.
Et maintenant, l'anglais par la radio. Aujourd'hui, à l'aérodrome.
Now we must go to the check-in. Now we must go to the check-in.
Heard you the first time.
Have we got to go to the check-in?
Oh, I see. She's a bit dim.
Now we must show our tickets.
There again.
Now we must show our tickets.
I think I'd better not drive up, perhaps. She might be still asleep.
Have we got to show our ticket?
Disgusting if she is.
Now we must get our boarding cards.
This time in the morning?
Now we must get our boarding cards.
Cyril wouldn't want to surprise her. Ah, there is the little nest. The Potter residence. Shay Potter.
Have we got to get our boarding cards?
Now we must show our passports.
Oh, goodbye, you two. Happy landings.
Now we must show our...
I suppose I might surprise her with a nice cup of tea. In which case, better use the back door. Or tradesman's entrance. Easy access to Bijou kitchen. And the cups that cheer but not inebriate, as the poet Cooper so justly remarked. Shh, not so loud. Good morning. Lovely morning. Anybody home? Diana?
Gerald!
The same? What's all that about?
It's you!
None other. Well, that other. Why all the dramatics?
My God!
Sorry?
Blast you! Get out!
I don't see why.
Shut the door!
Oh, very well. In that case, I might as well put the car away.
Come back in!
Oh, now what? Now what?
Where have you been? That's what.
Well, no, I've just come back.
So I should think. I mean before, as if you didn't know.
It was such a gorgeous morning.
Do you know that time?
Roughly. The snail was at 7, according to the poet Browning.
The time now!
Not really. I'll put the radio on.
Don't bother. It's 3 hours.
I bothered now.
Have we got to get our boarding card?
3 hours you've been gone.
Ah, so that's it. Did you make the tea?
Ask a silly question.
Have we got to get our boarding card?
This is only the fourth pot. The first one had a boarding card in it. Give me the milk.
Yes, we've got to get our boarding card.
Oh, I mean a butcher's bill, so that was ruined.
Well, it would be. They use terribly cheap paper.
Have we got to show our passport?
I suppose you didn't read the back.
The second pot was to phone Dr. Giddy with, and not the jug, the bottle.
Giddy, next door. What, the good doctor? Diana, you are ill. Show me where it hurts.
Have we got to show our...
Walter! Daft cow!
Is it spots? What did he say?
And the third pot to phone Mr. Gable.
Good God, a second opinion. Darling, you should have told.
And he hadn't seen you either, so this is the fourth pot. Try some. And I still don't know...
What you've got?
Where the hell you been, damn it, since 6 o'clock this morning?
Well, it's a hard thing for the literary man having to talk in clichés, but that's what it came down to in the end. I had to say it. Darling, I had to say, I can explain everything, and I did. I was terrified she'd say, is this some sort of joke? And I'd have to say, I was never more serious in my life. But on the whole, over a somewhat late breakfast, she seemed to accept it. Still made a point or two, of course. Only a raving lunatic, she said, would put notes in teapots. I did not reply that she was the one who'd actually put it in. And a few other carpings of a similar kind. Just nature's way of tapering off a girl's feelings when she knows she's behaved like a drip. Me? I turn the other cheek at these times. Throw in a few admiring words, you know, cringe a little. Generally emulate Uriah the Heepite, if that's the man I'm thinking of. I thought you looked very beautiful this morning.
Pass the butter.
Sleeping there with a little smile.
And the knife.
Your little hairnet over one eye. Very good sausages, these. Found a new shop.
We've had them for 10 years.
Well, you've kept them marvellously.
Been having them.
I like the way they burst at the ends.
Just eat them.
Right.
Were you first up there?
Up where?
The beacon. Hadn't you been going on about struggling up the beacon? The big climb, the Gerald C. Potter expedition? You didn't find the Russians had beaten you to it? The hammer and sickle streaming in the breeze?
Very good. Yeah, yes, very good, that. All dancing and knees up Mother Bronski.
Pass the coffee.
In their baggy trousers and fur hats.
Shut up.
By all means. I was only...
Open the window and let the cat in.
Certainly, darling. No sooner said than...
Not hairnets.
I beg your pardon, darling?
Not hairnets. Flattering though it is to be likened to Ina Sharple's first thing in the morning, yet it's hardly...
Unusually good coffee, this. Something special you've done to it? No, not you. And stop scratching that ear.
There's no need to take it out on the cat. Pass the marmalade. Why didn't you run down?
She's against it. She's shaking her head. Run down what?
Down the downs.
Yes. Well, I should have done that. Why didn't I think of it? It's only about 3 miles. No, there's a special flavour about it, you know. I can't quite identify it.
Biological detergent.
I'm sorry?
When you ground the beans yesterday without the lid on, and they spread all over the kitchen.
Oh, yes. Yes, I thought I'd swept them up rather well.
Not from under the washing machine. You left that to me, and of all the idiotic...
It was the cat.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know. But it's confusing grinding beans in a bijou kitchen with a cat trying to get up your pyjama leg. You forget to put lids on things.
Run down in the car, I mean.
Well, it wouldn't start, you see. When I...
If you thought of passing the marmalade spoon as well, it's in your coffee saucer. Why didn't you do that?
I'm sorry, I didn't notice.
Why didn't you run down the hill in the car, you dummy? I always understood that a motorist whose car won't start owing to excessive punishment and a neglect of elementary maintenance prefers this to occur in high places where he can put it in gear and run down till it starts, thus getting home before his wife thinks he's under a green light bus and begins knocking up the neighbours.
It's automatic.
Isn't that what I'm saying?
Well, you can't do it. Not with wicked little automatics.
And another thing.
Yes, darling? Yes, darling?
Can tell it was lost at the marmalade. It's all golden and no shred.
Is that it?
What?
The other thing.
No, it isn't. You'll have to telephone old Giebel and let him know you've been found.
Oh, you think so?
I do think so.
Well, of course, darling, if you think so. But I could easily yell out of the window. That's him doing the hedge whining. Save the cost of a call.
That is absolutely typical.
Is it? What of? I mean, I'm sure you're right, darling, as always. But I don't quite see what point you're making. What was typical, apparently, was my insensitive attitude to old gentlemen trimming hedges. In Diana's view, any sudden yell from a neighbour who was last heard of missing, believed dead, would cause them to cut a thumb off. She also touched on my mean-mindedness over phone bills. However, I could sense that the atmosphere was easing, and it was no time to set things back. Oh, no, 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 no. No, I telephoned Giebel and Giddy, and in the most self-reproachful of terms. The blame was mine. I was a fool. Some husbands might have laid it all on their little mutton-headed moon-calf wives, who ought to have had more sense. I am past being surprised at anything she does, Mr. Giebel. But no, not me. I have a shred or two of gallantry left. Let alone she could be listening on the extension. And one sign that she was beginning to forgive me, to put it like that, was that she started asking me to do things. I seem to speak in riddles? Not at all. Wives in full rancour won't so much as let you open an umbrella for them. But once their love comes seeping back, there's nothing too much trouble for you. Don't ask me why. It's a fact of matrimony. That's all we know, and all we need to know. As the poet Keats, or possibly Shelley. Keats and Shelley, ornamental mouldings.
Are you out there?
Very much. In my delightful Canadian spruce sun loggia, as advertised.
Come in here.
Or rickety writing hut. With a fresh corpse.
And bring some ladders.
I think I shall make him a bishop.
Can you see round the front?
No, I haven't turned him over yet.
The front of the house, it's lying all over the driveway. You'll have to nail it back. Miss Clinch may be coming. It'll ruin her stockings. Gerald?
The whole front? You're not exaggerating. It isn't just a few bits.
It's the whole tree.
Tree? Just a minute.
The rose tree. The climber up the front of the house. Come in here with the ladders. You'll have to nail its top back under the bedroom window. You can't expect me to do it. I'm in the middle of a chapter. Besides, are you there?
Only just. What's the besides?
You're the one with the head for heights, aren't you?
Yes. Does she know what she does to me, a thing like that? Well, quite helpful, though. I think she's coming round. Except for that head for heights bit. Still a touch of the rankle there. Well, sorry, Bishop. See you after lunch in the morgue, all right?
More to the left!
About here? I can't see.
The left!
Right.
That's the right!
I've got a rose up my nose. Here, do you mean?
The other way! Hang on to the guttering, you fool!
I'd be a fool if I did.
What?
Well, I can see that, all right. He's only held up by the rust.
Cover the water pipe!
Say again?
Cover the water pipe with that last little top bit!
Mm-hmm. About just here?
No, up a bit. Now, under where it's got your hat. Don't drop the hammer! Look out! Achtung, Achtung! Wait for number two! Gerald! Are you all right? Stay there!
Holy water, I'll get you two one of these mornings. Up on the roof with an air gun. And you'll be belly landing in Brighton Marina. Right then.
I'll cover the water pipe.
You mean like this, darling? Here? Diana? Diana, where are you? Like this? Oh, my God, where's the hammer? I've hit her. Darling, where are you? Speak to me.
I'm here, darling.
Oh.
I'm speaking. Oh. I've got you. It's me.
Who's holding the ladder?
Don't look down. That's how it happens.
What happens?
Man falls 40 feet. Just keep calm.
Look, I am calm. You can let go.
No, get calmer first.
I'm calmer than you are.
No, you're not.
Well, I should be if you hadn't shot out of that bloody window like that.
Well, I thought you might fall 40 feet.
Let go.
When the hunter hawkers went over.
Hawker hunters. So you came up to catch me.
Right. Why is it always 40 feet?
Well, it isn't always. Diana, if you could let go
nearly
of me...
Always.
Not off Beachy Head.
But I could see the headlines.
Yes. Husband of famed novelist in climbing rose horror.
Awful.
And a picture of you.
I know.
Diana.
Yes, Gerald.
If you could just let go now.
You're sure you're safe?
At the moment, yes, thank you. But pull up this sweater another inch and I could suffocate. Death by polo neck. Leave go, can't you, you daft woman?
So that was much better, going along nicely. She wasn't rushing things, mind you. When I gave her that husband of famed novelist bit, I'd have preferred her to cry, no, 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 ace crime writer Potter, and suggest my picture instead of hers. But give them time. At least she hung on to that double fistful of man-made polyester, as if she didn't want to lose the man inside it. The contents. Me, in fact. And it was that fear, of course, that had sent her into a spin over my delayed homecoming that morning. Ah, yes. Oh, the dotty deviousness of female devotion. You get the same thing when a tiny tot goes missing for 3 days. After 1,000 policemen have found him safe and well in the next-door woodshed and restored him to his distracted mummy, what does she do? Fetches him a clump on the bonce as a token of her love. He's what the doctors call an anxiety transfer. It causes her to send the spouse up ladders, tax him with careless coffee grinding, and generally bring him back to her agitated bosom by other perverse and mysterious ploys. In the ordinary way, I wouldn't discuss Diana's bosom in public, but he did continue to be agitated on one count or another, and I think I did my best to soothe its tremors. I was admiring my handiwork with the rose tree, for instance, and wondering how to recover my hat without getting the ladders out again.
Round here.
Round where? Oh, you're round there. What are you doing?
My hat's up there.
Yes, never mind. It's better than Miss Clinch's stockings.
Oh, yes, much. They'd look awful.
You'll have to take her to the vet.
I don't even know her. I was going to ask you, darling, who is she?
Her head's rattling. She won't stop scratching her ear.
No, really, darling. Am I Miss Clinch's keeper?
The cat, damn it, the cat. I think she's got clinker.
Canker?
Conker. Find out his surgery hours. He's only round the corner. And that's just as well because the car's gone. You'll have to walk.
Rubbish.
I tell you, it's gone. I've just been in the garage. Can't you smell the paraffin? You'll have to put her in the packer, Kitty.
I'll do nothing of the kind.
And phone the priest about the car. Come on. It's in the cupboard under the stairs. But the hose pipe needs fixing.
Yes. What she wants, I think, is a drink before lunch. If we're getting any lunch today. And she's not the only one.
Is that three?
Four, actually.
Have I? It doesn't feel like it.
Here you are, darling.
Thank you, darling. Cheers.
Doesn't feel like what?
Four drinks.
Now, this is only the second.
Oh, good. I think that's right, don't you?
Mm. I do, yes. Absolutely.
I think at two, you can have four drinks.
Oh, yes, yes, easily.
But at four, you can only have two.
Certainly. Otherwise, it spoils the tea.
We haven't had lunch yet.
I know. Haven't we?
It's like in the Navy. You don't splice your braces until the sun's over the yardstick. Listen!
What?
No, it's all right. I thought she was shaking her head again out there, but it's the fridge vibrating.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have to take her. 6:30 is surgery. She quite likes cardboard boxes. Can I have another drink?
Of course you can, darling.
Just to take the smell away. I mean, we're not in the Navy.
Certainly. She likes them, does she? Cardboard boxes?
Oh, yes. It's cardboard, you see, Packer Kitty. It folds up flat and opens out square with little cardboard handles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how was I to know you'd left the car out in the road so that you wouldn't wake me when I'd actually been up at 6, seeing exactly what to do about Chapter 17 in the Sexpot Lady Stockbroker?
Yeah.
Thank you, darling. And then I couldn't write a bloody word because you've gone off. Cheers.
Gone off?
Yeah, gone off.
Who is Miss Clinch?
Gone off bang. What?
Miss Clinch.
Old Sylvia Clinch.
If you say so. Who is Sylvia? What is she?
She lent me her most precious possession and she suddenly wants it back. You know what people are like. So she's coming round. It's an heirloom. It's a book. Heraldic devices. It's worth thousands, she says. And when I told her, darling, I feel a lot better now.
Yeah.
And when she heard I was researching all about old barons to write the Sharp Lance of Love.
So I fancied the worst was over. You can never be sure, naturally. The female Ember can easily be found. But when I was back with the bishop, having put, quite frankly, Miss Clinch and her heirloom from my mind, so far as it had ever been in it, fixed the hosed the garage the car, even steeled myself to the prospect of being seen with a squawking cardboard box printed Packer Kitty in big black letters down the side. Do you notice anything? Said the inspector, cautiously lifting his leg. Better make that the bishop's leg. You're right, sir, came the reply. He's wearing odd gaiters, by hell. Watch your language, sergeant, said the inspector sternly. Inspector Stanley?
Gerald?
Yes, sergeant.
Something absolutely hideous has happened, so inconceivably and horrendously appalling, I can't tell you, you'd never believe me. So incredibly frightful and ghastly.
Is it anything serious?
Come in here!
Well, well, well. Watch your language, Potter.
I tell you, it's so good looking. It's gone. I've looked everywhere.
Not in the vegetable dishes, then.
I said everywhere. It's worth thousands.
Dustbins?
That was the first place. Mm-hmm. What do I say when she turns up any minute now and no heirloom?
You just have to tell her.
Won't be in there.
Well, if you explain that you've looked everywhere, starting with the dustbins, what's it like?
It's sort of blue with gold, goldy blue.
Aha!
You haven't found it.
Sorry. Get to know your pressure cooker.
Oh, you fool. I had it in the hairdressers yesterday.
Well, I'll ring them.
I rang them. Nothing but Reader's Digests.
Where else did you go?
Mr. Wade, the watchmaker. Yes, I drove from the hairdressers.
Well, let's ring him.
He never answers. He thinks it's alarm clocks.
Fish shop?
No.
Good.
Why?
Well, they'd have wrapped things in it.
Don't! You'll have to get the car out and go everywhere I went. I can't. She could arrive. Well, go on. Hurry, hurry.
I am going. I'm hurrying. How about the cab?
She won't know. I went to the library. Go to the library.
Well, how can you find a book in there?
What? I can't hear. Move it, for Pete's sake. Go. Don't run over, Miss Clint. I don't know that. That could just be the answer. Shut up. Don't shake your head at me. He won't find it. I know he won't. How do I tell her? I'll have to lead up to it gently. Miss Clinch, I've got terrible news. Something so absolutely hideous, so horrendously ghastly.
Honorific abilitudinitatibus.
Madman, why don't you go?
I mean abracadabra. I always get those two mixed up. Look.
My God, it's it.
In the car, under the thing. In the glove hole, the cubby compartment. I thought you'd be pleased.
You crazy dope.
What? Why?
You must have seen it this morning, you daft loony. And here I've been with my heart attack, and all the time you could have led me right to it.
And so I could, actually. I remembered as soon as she gave me that goldy blue bit. Yes, I'm afraid I have this tiny streak of melodrama. All the same, blow, blow, thou winter wind, as W. Shakespeare said. Thou art not so unkind as woman's ingratitude. By the way, I meant to mention that I have a literary suspect in Death Wore a T-shirt. Helmut von Stickelberg, professor of English at Stockport University. Not that I was going to get back to him just yet. The day wasn't over. And anybody who's tried to pack a cat into a pack of kitty will know that. Still, it was her last territorial demand. Diana's, I mean, and then I could leave without a stain on my character. What do I mean, leave? That's how it had all started, with her lovable little dotty idea that I'd left her. Ah, silly girl. But the word leave, as you shall hear, was not yet to leave me. Still, it's a good thing the vet's within walking distance. I don't know about your car, but ours gets catsick. Yes, I think that's clear. I don't want a vet treating two ailments, not at prevailing prices. Though this one was extremely reasonable, I must say. Apparently it's a very simple operation, just hooking a couple of coffee beans out of a cat's ear. And I was home at 7, unpacking a de-beaned cat on the kitchen table, and eager to impart the good news.
There we are, then. Diana! Oh, sorry. Out you come, then. Ow! Steady, that is me. We're back! Diana! All right, that's right. Go on, go and tell Mrs. Potter all about it. I wonder what it costs to get claws removed. Darling? Hey there, darling. Darling! Where are you? Diana, are you there?
And you know what? She wasn't. She wasn't anywhere. Nor was the car. She never does this. I kept absolutely calm, of course. Leave it to the women to have hysterics, just because a loved one goes missing for 2 hours. By 9 o'clock, naturally, I'd searched the outhouses, been up into the attic, beaten the front shrubbery, looked for messages. Some last little farewell sign. Don't come after me, your ruffin's in the supper. Nothing. It was appalling. Where was she? Old Giebel hadn't seen her, no reply from old Giddy. Was it Miss Clinch? Ah, that's it. I had known there was something funny all along. She was the CIA. Oh, I should have guessed. Walked in and put a bag over her head. Absolutely ghastly. As I said to the cat, it's coming to something, running all over a terribly silent house and finding you're actually working on who to ask for the funeral. I was upstairs, looking at her little bed, so neat, so hideously empty, where only that morning, with her little hairnet over one eye... What was that?
Where are you?
Where the hell has she been?
Next to London at midnight Greenwich Mean Time, you can hear a bulletin of world news, followed by news about Britain and radio newsreel. This is London.
Fancy. Coffee beans. Oh dear, are you putting your light out? I shan't read tonight. Poor old thing.
Well, I didn't hurt her.
Old Miss Clinch. Mm. In bed with her stomach like that. Did you miss me?
Mm. No, certainly not. Well, I mean, I just...
I mean, I had to go round when she phoned, take her heirloom. Then she wouldn't let me go. I thought you might wonder. Covering my message with a pickercutty like that.
Packagitty.
Daft twit. hasn't it seemed a long day somehow? I'll tell you something I'd like you to do tomorrow. Gerald. You know all those old tea chests round the back of the garage with worm in them, tangled up in the huge brambles? Gerald.
From December 1977, that was The Small, Intricate Life of Gerald Potter, starring Ian Carmichael as Gerald and Charlotte Mitchell as Diana, with Joe Manning Wilson and Michael McLean. It was written by Basil Boothroyd, and the producer was Bobby Jay.